There are certain subjects in the Bible, and you preachers can back me up, that when you preach them, when the Lord lays a certain message on a certain subject on your heart, there's a special anointing that accompanies it. One of those is when you're preaching about salvation. Another one is when you're preaching about the second coming of Christ. Seems like God just puts a special anointing on that subject. And then the subject I'm going to preach on tonight is the blood of Christ. I believe that the blood of Christ is essential to Christianity. It's a vital part, and that's what we're going to get to here in a little bit. But it's a vital part of our existence. And tonight I'm going to preach about the ministry of the blood. And to those of you that have been in church for quite some time, it's an elementary subject to you. A lot of you have heard messages on the blood, and you probably can preach it better than me. But this is what the Lord has laid on our heart for tonight. Possibly someone here, they may not fully understand about the blood of Christ and what it can do. But anybody that's accepted Jesus Christ and has had the blood of Christ applied to your life, we can truly say it's made a difference. It's made a difference. And I'm going to take for a text tonight in Leviticus, the book of Leviticus 17, the book of Leviticus chapter 17. For those of you that are new converts and maybe have difficulty finding that, that'll be the third book in your Bible. Genesis, Exodus, and then Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 17. And we'll read one verse, and that is verse 11. Very familiar scripture. A lot of you can quote it. This is what the Lord's laid on our heart this evening. Leviticus 17, and we'll read verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Boy, that sounds good, doesn't it? For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the souls. As I already mentioned to you tonight, the blood of Christ is a special subject to preach about. As preachers, we love to preach about the blood. And I can go on record tonight and tell you that I'm still a bloody preacher. I read a bloody book and I practice a bloody religion. I still believe it still takes the blood of Christ to redeem us from a life of sin. Many people are neglecting the blood. They're taking it away from their Bibles and from their hymn books. But as for Rubyville Church, as for me and my house, we will stand upon the blood of Jesus. Judas called it the innocent blood. 1 Peter 1:18 calls it precious blood. 1 John 1:7 calls it cleansing blood. Ephesians 1:7 calls it redeeming blood. Acts 20:28 calls it purchasing blood. Romans 5 calls it justifying blood. Colossians 1:20 calls it sanctifying blood. But whatever you call it tonight, whatever you need, whatever situation of life you're in, you need the blood of Christ applied to your life. We could go in a lot of different ways as far as introduction, but I want to get into the heart of the sermon tonight. I want to mention to you four things about the blood and about the ministry of the blood of Christ. First of all, the blood is vital. The blood is vital. We find that at the beginning of our text. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Where there's blood, blood equals life. Now let's talk about this physically a second. Just even not too many years ago, they were still using leeches, and they would use a process called a letting of the blood, because they felt if you had a disease that was in your blood or something was wrong with you, that they would let blood out of your body thinking that would heal you. In fact, if I read my history book right, I believe George Washington probably died this way. They were letting his blood, and he died because of lack of blood. But they soon realized that it wasn't the taking away of blood that healed you, but it was the giving of blood that healed you. A lot of times you'll find some of you even here tonight have had to have blood. Your hemoglobin gets low and you get pale, you get flushed, and you get tired and you can't function. But man, when they get the blood in you, you awaken. You're quickened with the power. And that's what the blood does. The life of the flesh is in the blood. We don't take away blood anymore, but we give blood. Sometimes even use leeches in old days to try to suck the blood out, thinking that that would heal the problem. But really tonight, folks, they soon realize, and doctors realize, that God had it right all along back in the book of Leviticus. The life of the flesh is still in the blood. The blood is vital because it gives life to the Scriptures. The blood is vital because it gives life to the sinner. And thankfully tonight, and I'm glad tonight, that the blood is vital because it gives life to the saint. The blood is the mysterious part of our body. The blood is the only part of our body that actually circulates through our body. Now, we have other fluids in our body, but those are our products of our body. But the blood is a physical part of our body. If you take the blood away, we will die. Now, this is elementary to y'all, but many of you know that we have 5 quarts of blood in our body. It goes through our body every 23 seconds. And imagine this, the blood touches every single cell in our body in those 23 seconds. And thank God the blood of Christ can touch every part of your sin and cleanse you, not from one sin or two sins, but thank God it can cleanse you from all your sin and your unrighteousness. The blood is vital because without it, we cannot understand the Word of God. The blood is the scarlet thread that connects Genesis to Revelation. Thank God, if you have trouble understanding the Scripture, just put the cross in the middle of it. Just put the blood in the middle of it. And you'll soon figure out that the Holy Scripture, 66 books, over 40 different authors, written over 1,500 of years, has been connected by one thing, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. Anytime you read the Bible, anytime you go through the Bible, it makes a beeline straight to Calvary. And I'm thankful tonight that that's the reason why we have the Bible. And sometimes we can't understand the Bible. You know why we can't understand it? You know why some of y'all maybe that read different versions maybe can't understand the Bible you're reading? Is because it's taken the blood out. A lot of modern translations will take the blood out of their Scriptures. That's why our church believes and practices and preaches and teaches out of the King James Version of the Bible. That's one of the main reasons we do it, is because they kept the blood inside the Holy Scripture. And I'm telling you tonight, it's because we can understand the Scripture a lot better when the blood is in the middle of it. You can be pardoned, but you only be pardoned by the blood of Christ. You can be redeemed, but you only be redeemed by the blood. You can make it to heaven tonight, but you only make it through the blood. You can have peace in your heart tonight, but the only reason you'll have peace is because you've been plunged beneath the Calvary's flow. It's vital because it makes us understand the Word. It also, without the blood, our worship is unacceptable. Our worship is unacceptable. We go all the way back to the beginning. Adam and Eve were in the garden. God created a perfect place. And we all know what happened. The serpent was subtle and deceptive. And he came to Eve and told her all these lies. He isn't doing anything different today, is he? He's still the father of lies. But he came to her, and her and Adam both partook of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so there they were. The Bible says they were naked and they were ashamed because they realized the sin that was on them now because they disobeyed God. That's what sin is, really. It's a disobeying of God's command. And that's what they did. So here they were in the Garden of Eden. And they came along, and the Bible talks about in Genesis 3 that God made coats of skin for Adam and Eve for a covering of their nakedness and for their shame. And so it taught us all the way back in the very beginning that it was going to take the blood to cover their sin. And then fast forward to Genesis chapter 4. You read where the Bible talks about Cain and Abel bringing an offering to God. Sacrifice was accepted by God because he brought a lamb to the sacrifice. But God did not accept Cain's sacrifice. Why? And here's the main reason. He didn't bring the blood of the lamb. If he would have brought the blood of the lamb, his offering would have been accepted. But he brought the offering of the works of his hands. That shows us that we are not saved by our good works and by what anything we can produce. But our offering and our worship will be accepted when we bring the blood and present the blood to Him. The word is understood with the blood. The worship is unacceptable without the blood. And our witness will be unprofitable without the blood. Anytime we try to witness to people, anytime we try to tell them about Jesus Christ, it's very important that when you're soul winning, we try to teach the people, the young people in classes this year at youth camp about soul winning. And it's very important that you try to get the people lost, tell them to realize that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But you never leave them without telling them about the blood of Christ that is able to save them and get them out of their life of sin. That without the blood, you're just having a good conversation. But with the blood, our witnessing can be profitable. The blood is vital. The blood, secondly, is also literal. Literal. There was a major movement about, I'd say probably 30 years ago. Some major denominations began taking the blood out of their doctrine. And if those of you that are familiar with those denominations, you'll find that ever since that time, they've been going downhill ever since. And any church or any denomination will, when you begin to take the blood out of your hymn books and the blood out of your Bible. Amen? So they begin to take the blood out of their hymn books. They found it offensive. To them, the blood was just a symbol. But it wasn't literal. Tonight, we believe that the blood is more than just a symbol. I believe with all my heart that it literally took the shedding of the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to save me from a life of sin. And some of what we call quote unquote religious leaders today don't believe that it was the blood that saved us. They believe that it was the death of Christ that saved us. Now, if we think that, then God's shedding of blood meant nothing to us. But yes, He died, but He bled to death. And it was because of His blood. That all through Scripture doesn't deny that Christ died. But it doesn't deny that it doesn't take nothing else but the blood. It does take the blood to cover all of our sins. Nowhere can that be found in Exodus chapter 13. Whenever the death angel, and I believe it was the angel of the Lord that came around, and they said, if the blood is not on the doorpost and on the lintels, when the death angel comes, they will take the firstborn. But whenever they said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That shows us how important the blood is. The actual blood of Christ is what saves us. And sometimes, the Bible will use symbolic language to describe the blood. Let me give you an example. Revelations 1:5 tells us, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our own sins in His own blood. Now, this doesn't literally mean that we physically take the blood of Christ and wash ourselves with it. See, washing is the symbol, but the blood is literal. You understand what I mean by that? John 6:51, Jesus here talking to the Jews and talking to the ones that were around Him and begins to talk about taking and eating of His flesh and drinking of His blood. Was Christ promoting cannibalism? No. No, He wasn't. Was Christ promoting communion? No, I don't think He was. I think He was telling us it's a symbol and it's a pattern. You're not literally drinking My blood. You're not literally eating My flesh. But I'm telling you what I'm going to do is you have to realize that the blood has the power. My body is, it was broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me so many times and other religions. And I don't mean to get on anyone that may be here tonight. I don't mean to offend anybody. But the Roman Catholic religion believes in a doctrine called transubstantiation. That means whenever the priest blesses the wafer and the drink, that they believe that it literally changes into the body and the blood of Christ. Now, I don't believe that when we stand up here and take communion, that the bread literally changes into the body of Christ. I don't believe that when I drink of the juice, that it literally changes into the blood of Christ. It is a symbol or a metaphor of what the blood represents. It's a figure of speech. The Bible uses metaphors all the time to describe certain things. For instance, the Lord is my shepherd. There's a metaphor. We sing, "A mighty fortress is our God." Sometimes there's an old hymn, "A mighty fortress is our God." That's a metaphor. Sometimes the Bible uses the metaphor to talk about the blood. But Jesus was talking more than just a figure of speech. He was talking about believing and receiving something. It was a figure of speech. It was a symbolic language. But the blood in the Bible is never meant to be a symbol. It's always meant to be literal. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Christ shed His blood. Christ literally died. Christ became broken for you and I that we wouldn't have to. The blood of Christ is vital. The blood of Christ is literal. Thirdly, the blood of Christ is sacrificial. He says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement." There it is. An atonement for your souls. The word atonement is in Hebrew kafar, which means a covering. Literally means that the blood was presented for a covering of our sins. I've used this example many, many times, and I know you all have heard it, but for some of you that haven't, for many years my dad was raised Free Will Baptist, and they used the old church hymnals. And the song, "They Are Covered by the Blood," wasn't in that hymnal. And so whenever he married my mom and started getting into some 3CU churches and into Nazarene churches and even some community churches that used a different hymn book, they would have the song "Covered by the Blood." And Dad would hear that, and Dad would always taught that our sins were washed away. And he never did understand what it meant when they were singing, "They are covered by the blood, they are covered by the blood, my sins are all covered by the blood." And Dad would say, "No, they're not covered, they're washed." And he didn't understand it, and God showed him one time what it meant. And amazingly, I know it's hard to believe, but God showed him at Bob Evans. Dad got the bill for his meal. And I say, for instance, came up to $19.75. He slapped a $20 bill on that, on the debt that he owed, and told the waitress that ought to cover it. And boom, a light bulb went off. And the Lord said, "That's what I've been trying to teach you this whole time." And he finally understood he had a debt that he couldn't pay. And when Jesus slapped His blood on it, Jesus said to the Father, "That'll cover it." That means it took care of the sin debt. Our debt has been paid in full. Christ became our substitute when He died on the cross of Calvary. We deserve the cross. We deserve the nails. We deserve the beating. But thank God He took our place on the cross and became our sacrifice. The sacrificial part of the blood shows us the problem of sin. How do you view sin tonight? How do I view sin? It really doesn't matter how we view it, but it's a matter how God views it. And all you have to do in order to see how God views sin is to look at the cross. Look at His Son taking the beating. Look at His Son that His visage was marred more than any man upon the face of the earth. Look at His Son that took the agony and the torture. That's how God looks at sin. If to Him, He could not even look at it. He had to turn His face away. That's how God views it. And that's how we need to view it. Sin is not something that we can have fun with. No, sin will kill us. When the wages of sin is death. But thank God the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin is not a pretty picture. Oh yeah, you may have pleasure in sin, but only for a season. But we have to realize we have a problem, and the problem we have is that we're all sinners. We're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The problem is modern churches and some so-called Christians have watered down sin because it affects their own family. Some people have sterilized sin to the fact that what once was sin years ago, now it's okay because I'm directly involved with it. No, no, no. If God says it's sin, it's still sin today. The problem was sin. But we also notice the place of the sacrifice. In the Old Testament, they used the tabernacle. And the temple took the place of the tabernacle. You couldn't just get your sins taken care of just anywhere. There was a place prescribed to take your sins away. And they would come to the holiest of holies. They would present their sacrifice. The high priest would take the sacrifice in. And if it was accepted by God, their sins would be forgiven for that year. But God knew there had to be an ultimate sacrifice. And it couldn't just be at any old place. No, He prescribed way off in the distance. He said that Jesus was a lamb slain in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. Many years even before Christ even came to this world, God had made a tree. He had fashioned a tree and said, "This is where my son will die." The same place Abraham took his son Isaac and offered it up on Mount Moriah. Thousands of years later, Jesus Christ would take the cross of Calvary and He would die on that same mountain. I'm telling you what, there was a place ordained by God, and you cannot just go any place to get your sins taken care of. It may not be at this altar, but this isn't the place. No, I'll tell you where the place is at. It's the place called Calvary. That's where you need to go to take your sins away. Hallelujah. Christ did not bear our sins in the synagogue, because it isn't His teaching that saves us. Christ didn't bear our sins in the manger, because it wasn't His birth that saves us. Christ didn't bear our sins in the River Jordan, because baptism won't save us. But He bore our sins on the cross of Calvary. Woo! Because the cross is where we'll be saved. The problem of sin, the place of the sacrifice, but notice, under the sacrificial part, the price of salvation. Aren't you glad salvation is free? But it wasn't cheap. It wasn't cheap. Our blood is made up of platelets, red blood cells, white blood cells. All of them have a specific job. We know the red blood cells basically take out the trash. Every 23 seconds, the trash is taken out by the red blood cells. And every piece of trash that we have in our body, it cleanses us. The blood cleanses our body. And thank God, the blood of Christ goes through our entire soul. And by just coming to Him and repenting of your sins and say, "Father, forgive me," the Bible says He will come in and cleanse you of all your sin. Thank God. If you look up the word blood in your Bible, it's found 447 times. And if you look up the word sin is also found 447 times. That tells me for every sin, there's a blood that takes care of it. Whew. The blood is vital. The blood is literal. The blood is sacrificial, but finally tonight, and we'll be closing in just about 5 minutes, the blood is eternal. The blood is eternal. Since the day He died on the cross, the blood has always been the means by where God's wrath can be satisfied. We don't have time to get on to the isms and schisms of it, but when Christ died on the cross, remember, the priest always went into the holiest of holies, presented the blood, sprinkled it upon the sacrifice. And if the blood was acceptable, God would send down His sign. And Christ, being come, I quoted to you the other night, and Christ being come a high priest of greater things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us all. Christ took His blood and presented it to the Father. And I'll never forget, some of you weren't able to be there, but back in May, whenever Jacob Berry preached on the one drop of blood, and he said, I could see Jesus Christ going up to the Father and said, "Father, is this good enough?" And can you imagine the God of heaven looking down, looking at His Son, and saying, "That is good, once and for all." And you say, Brian, how did God send down that the blood was accepted? Oh, you see, when Christ died, there came a great earthquake. And the Bible says the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. That means God said from now on, tradition out the window. You ain't going to have to come every year to get your sins taken care of. You just got to come once to the cross. And all your sins can be forgiven. And I'm thankful that His blood is eternal. His blood reveals our sin. But thank God it also removes our sin. No matter what condition you're in tonight, no matter how far you think you may have gone, no matter how many times you feel you've rejected His blood, God can still save you and remove you from a life of sin. Many years ago, John Wesley was preaching. Of course, he was a circuit rider. He rode his horse wherever he went. And just like today, they still had problems with thieves and robbers. And John Wesley was mugged, and the thief got away with just a few cents, not much at all. And he threw down John Wesley and took everything that he had, which wasn't much. And as the thief was running away, John Wesley yelled at him. Said, hey, wait a minute. You forgot something. And the thief was shocked. And he turned around and said, I want to give you something else. And he quoted to him the scripture. The blood of Christ can cleanse you from all sin. And that was the only thing he said to him. And the thief ran away. Years later, John Wesley was preaching a revival meeting. And at the end of one of the services, a stranger came up to him and introduced himself. Sharp-dressed businessman, clean-cut, a Christian. And he reminded John Wesley, I was the man that robbed you. I was the man that took all you had. And today, because of what you told me, I'm saved. Thank you for saving me. And John Wesley quickly stopped him and said, oh no, don't thank me. Thank the blood of Christ that can cleanse you from all sin. Your life can be turned around tonight if you simply come and ask Him into your heart.